And Mike, Pastor Mike just told me too that Miss Deborah Flanagan has those on CD, those verses. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. That'd be something worth listening to. Amen. That is cool. Well, awesome. How's everybody doing today? Good. I am doing well as well. Lots of wells. How many of you are excited about the fall party tonight? I might have to break out a flannel shirt. If you know me, you know I've got a lot of those. They all have Carhartt on them. I wear, Charity and I joke that during the week, I have it's like I'm a cartoon character. Because if you open up my closet, there's just a bunch of black Carhartt shirts. It's pretty much all I wear during the week, you know. And so I've got all of these black Carhartt shirts. And I wear them so much that my daughter, when Rosie draws a picture of me, there's a little square on my shirt right here. I'm like, that's right. That's right, girl. You got it. Nailed it. So if her future husband doesn't wear Carhartt, she's going to be like, you're broken. Get away from me. I'm like, that's right. So it's good stuff. But yeah, it's going to be fun tonight. Make sure you're on time. The scavenger hunt will be fun. We have a lot of good things planned and everything fall. So it'll be a good time tonight. And it's good to get together with your church family. It's one of our favorite things to do is family nights. And so look forward to seeing you all there around 4:30. Yeah. I got pumpkin pie. That should make everybody want to come. Did we talk about that? Did you hear about that? Okay, cool. I got a lot of pumpkin pie and whipped cream. Can't have pumpkin pie without whipped cream. Half and half. You're just speaking, that's like Charity and Rosie. Rosie really just wants the whipped cream, to be really honest with you. She really is like, the pumpkin's pie, like, you know, but she's like, whipped cream, let's go. All right. Anyway, enough about food. No, I'm lying. We're going to talk about food at some point again, I'm sure, because I'm preaching, so that's okay. But I'm excited to speak today. The Holy Spirit, I believe, just has really brought me to this subject of anointing today. And the word anointing is one of those words that we use a lot in church. And we talk about the anointing a lot. And today we're going to really dig into the word of God and what is the anointing and how does it work for the believer. And I think that that's important to understand because to really allow the Holy Spirit to move through us is allowing the anointing of God to move. And so it's an important piece. And how many of you know, I grew up in church. I'm really blessed to have incredible parents that love Jesus a lot. And throughout my whole life, I grew up in the church. And so I heard things like anointing a lot. And then one day I'm like, I don't even really know what that is, you know? And there are phrases or things that you hear people say over and over again, and you just kind of adopt them. And it's not that they're not true, but you don't necessarily know why they're true. They're just true. But I think there's revelation that can come when we know why. Amen? You know, something that I say a lot is the fact that every person that is a child of God has a specific anointing on them that is specific to them for specific things. If you've ever heard me say that, you might be like, yeah, that sounds good, right? It's not only sounds good, but it's true. And today we're going to look at why that's true today. You know, the anointing of God is seen a lot in Scripture. It's seen in the Old Testament many times, anointing kings of Israel. And they would anoint kings with oil. And it wasn't like a little dab on the forehead, okay? It was like whole flask of oil. You know, it was probably absolutely disgusting in every part of the way. Can you imagine how long? You're like, I ain't getting this thing off me for a long time. It's probably the point, right? And it was specifically when a king was anointed, it was to signify that they were set apart, chosen by God to lead his people. And when we talk about anointing, you're going to see things like that echoed over and over again. And so when God works, it's important to understand the anointing of God. Although it may, I would maybe say manifest or work, you know, for different and different people. It is for one specific purpose, and that is to advance the kingdom of God, to move forward the will of God. And to me, that's a really simple first step sign of, is this the anointing of God? Is this something that I am anointed to do or called to do? Is this something that God is saying, hey, I want you to do this? Well, a good first thing to ask is this going to advance the kingdom of God? And we can look at scripture and begin to decipher whether that would be true or not. Okay? Does that make sense today? So it's a good, if you will, test to say, hey, is this the weird pizza that I ate last night? Or is this the Spirit of the Lord? Is this the anointing? Is this his leading? Well, does it line up with his kingdom purpose? That's a good question to ask. And if you're like, I don't know what the kingdom purpose is, we'll talk about that, don't worry. We talk a lot about that. We might not specifically talk about it today, but we continually talk about the kingdom of God and his purpose for your life, and you can find it throughout scripture. If you want it, go get it. It's right here, all right? You know, John says, this is a beautiful thing, in 1 John 2, we should just go there. Let's make sure before I just say, let's go to 1 John 2. I wasn't going to do this, but let's go there. It seems important. So let's go there. 1 John 2. Okay. This is awesome scripture. So if you're a believer in this place, this is just so cool to me. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 20. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit. Better translation would be the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay? And all of you know the truth. What a powerful statement. So John is writing this letter to the Christian church and saying, hey, you know the truth. Why? Because you're really smart? Because you grew up in church? Because you know, he said very specifically, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let's skip down to 27. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit, again, a better translation there would be the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For the anointing of the Holy Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this at all, but praise the Lord that we're talking about it, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings revelation. Now, he may speak through me today. He may speak through Pastor Mercedes or Pastor Deborah or anybody else that's speaking on stage or at a conference or at another church that you go to. He can speak through people, maybe in a Bible study or a one-on-one, you know, when you're having coffee with somebody. He can speak through other people, but it's important to recognize the revelation comes from the Holy Spirit, whether it's through a person or to you divinely with just him. And sometimes we say, well, how do I learn that? Well, you can go get it, baby. The only person holding you back is you. And that's to me too, all right? If you're like, ouchie, mama, don't worry. My toes hurt too. It's all good. So we're talking about the anointing. Let's kind of go back here. I got off on a quick little Holy Spirit tangent. Praise the Lord. But You know, kings, again, they were anointed with oil, set apart, let everybody know that they were chosen by God to lead his people. And if you read the Old Testament, when anybody tried to come against that, no good. You don't mess with God's anointed. David knew that. David even knew that when King Saul was running after him, trying to kill him, and David had been at that point anointed by Samuel to be the next king. David knew that. Saul's trying to kill him. David knows Saul is gone. Like, this dude, what is going on? Like, the man that I knew is not the same man. And Saul is literally hunting him, trying to kill him. And when David has the chance to kill him twice, he says, I won't, because he is God's anointed. The one time that he creeps in and cuts a hem off of Saul's garment while he's relieving himself, weird. He is convicted in that moment because he touched the garment of the anointed. See, David understood the anointing of God. And what does that tell us about the anointing of God? That it is to be revered. That it is to be revered. Be careful not to just walk around and saying, thus saith the Lord, if the Lord has not saith. Amen? See, we have to honor the word of God. You'll find that if you honor the word of God and you honor the anointing of God, the anointing of God will flow easier through you. Why? Because you're proving to him that, hey, I'm going to steward this gift. I'm going to honor your word. And I will tell you right now, if you start to step out in that, you will probably make some mistakes, okay? But it's also good to recognize, I've made plenty of mistakes, okay? Some of you have witnessed it firsthand, all right? Probably all of you have witnessed it firsthand at some point. And there's been moments where, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me, so I thought, but I knew that I missed it, okay? It doesn't mean that I can't go back and say, hey, man, I missed it. I'm sorry. Does that make sense? Now, I don't want to make a practice of that, okay? But it's important to recognize that as you begin to step out in your anointing and doing the things that the Holy Spirit calls you to do, you may not always be perfect, but don't let that stop you from stepping out. The enemy would love to put shame and guilt over you, that when you step out and do something for him, if it maybe doesn't go quite right, or maybe you miss something, or maybe you add a little bit of you to the mix, that's one of the most common things we do. We elaborate on the word of God. We do those things. And sometimes the devil will be like, man, it's just going to be the same thing. No, don't listen to that. Learn to steward the anointing of God, the word of the Holy Spirit working through you on a daily basis. You'll find great, great reward in that, and also great fulfillment. Okay. And so Jesus also, if you read in Mark 6, Jesus, remember when he sends his disciples out? So Jesus has started his ministry. He's got his disciples, all right? They've done some crazy stuff. The disciples are like, this dude is nuts. We love it, all right? And he says, I'm going to send you out. And I want you to go pray for the sick, cast out demons. Tell everybody about me. And they go out, and then they come back like, you will never believe what happened, Jesus. He's like, what? It happened. Exactly the way you said it. Man, Jesus was so cool. He was like so patient, so chill. He wasn't really chill, but he was patient, all right? And it says, if you read in Mark chapter 6, that the disciples, that they prayed for the sick and they were healed, and they cast out demons and they were cast out, and they anointed them with oil. And we see this picture of something happening in this moment, this power of, if you ever see us using anointing, we're like, what's going on? Because we see it again and again in Scripture. And what are we doing? We're setting it apart. Marked by God. Hands off. This is a child of God. And it's a representation and symbolic to the enemy. Whoa. hands off. Okay? Cool, everybody with me still? If you're not okay, it'll be on the podcast. You can listen to it again. I don't know. I'm weird. Sorry. All right. So when we talk about the anointing, it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? But it has been established by what Jesus did through the cross, okay? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but it's important to recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one that's empowering the anointing through us, okay? It says, and we'll look at the scripture a bit, that when you receive the Holy Spirit, there will be power that comes upon you, okay? But it was established through what Jesus did on the cross. And we'll look at some scripture to prove that today and to look at that. But it's important to recognize, too, the beauty of the Trinity in the anointing of God, all right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and how they work hand in hand, all right? God sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? John 3:16. Even if you didn't go to church, you might know that scripture, right? People write it everywhere, all right? It's like a cool tattoo to get, even if you're not a Christian, right? You ever know somebody that got the scripture, John 3:16, and they didn't even serve God? Oh, like, that's the coolest thing ever. Just marked yourself with a scripture. Let's go. That's wild. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So it was a father's plan to always rebuild a covenant with his people. And he sent his son Jesus to conquer sin and death, okay? And when Jesus conquered sin and death, it made way for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, it brought power. So it's good to recognize the beauty of the Trinity. We talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever heard the word Trinity? You're like, what are they talking about? Kind of look. Wait, three and one, what is going on? Like, my mind, all right? Well, you will see that in the anointing of God, the Trinity is at work as the anointing works. Why? Because it's how that functions. It's the recipe to create the anointing of God. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit working in one junction together. And remember, the anointing, you might be anointed for certain tasks, but every Christian has an anointing, okay? And we'll talk about what that is and what that looks like. But then you'll also maybe be anointed for specific tasks. There's people that are obviously anointed for certain tasks. And sometimes we say that their anointing is bigger or greater, or they have a powerful anointing. I just want to remind you all where the power comes from. Where does the power come from? The Holy Spirit. Who has access to the Holy Spirit? Every believer. So this is an important piece because, again, this is sometimes things that we say in church and we don't mean a certain way, but it can be kind of get out of whack, okay, a little bit. Because it's important to recognize that if the power is coming from the Holy Spirit and anybody has access to that power, it's not that the anointing is more powerful. Why? Because the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. I will tell you this, though, that there are anointings on certain people because of their impact, their influence in the world, that will have a greater impact on the world that we see. Okay? But it doesn't mean that they're better. Okay? And you will find that throughout your life, that the longer that you pursue God and time with God in his presence, that you will have a deeper, stronger connection with his anointing, working in and through him. Anybody ever had plumbing problems at their house? Nobody? Anybody ever have like a pipe backup before? Oh boy. Disgusting, right? Anybody ever have a pipe that was backed up and you just like kept throwing water down it and just kept causing more and more problems? Everybody's like, kind of, but not really. They're like, you know, that's not the smartest thing to do, right? You stop and you do what? You get the clog out, okay? Everyone's like, this is the most disgusting analogy ever. Yeah, but it's a really good analogy, all right? And so we got to recognize, like, as, you know, that's a really good way for us to, and a lot of you probably heard that analogy before, right? But the Holy Spirit is flowing through us, okay? And it's easy to have clogs, okay? Somebody's like, oh my gosh, is he doing this right now? Yeah, you'll never forget it. It'll be tomorrow morning, you're going to be in your prayer time, and you're like, got the clog out. And you're like, what? Okay, it's getting weird. Somebody online's like, dear Lord, all right, I don't know if I should keep watching or if now I'm like really interested, all right? Be interested. Okay. As you spend more time with the Holy Spirit, you'll find that there are things that maybe you didn't even know. Because how many of you know that clogs, generally speaking, they can build up over time, right? Yeah, if you put rice down your sink, man, Miss Joyce was like, how dare someone put joy? Who put rice down? Yeah. If you put rice in a sink, it won't cause a problem right away, okay? It'll cause a problem over time. Why? Because you know what happens when rice gets water? It expands. If you put noodles down a sink, they won't cause a problem right away, but over a period of time, they will expand, and things start sticking to them. Yeah, that's disgusting. Yeah, and it turns black. Okay, we're done. We'll stop talking about this. I know. It's hilarious. Thank you. Poo-poo and pee-pee jokes will always be funny. I don't care what anybody says, all right? But it's important to understand the anointing, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't tap the Holy Spirit's power unless you tap it and say, that's all I want. I don't want any more. I don't allow you to move through me. But an open vessel, God's power cannot be contained, okay? And so it's important to recognize those things. And sometimes we say, well, that person has a more powerful anointing than me. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that as much as maybe you haven't fully accessed the power that God wants to work through you. Okay? And then it's very easy sometimes to say, well, that person is having such a bigger impact than I am. Whatever God has called me to do, sometimes we minimize the thing that God has put in front of us. And it's important to recognize God has you right where you're at for a very specific reason. And the anointing that he's put on you is for a very specific yoke to be broken, okay? Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. That was the intro. Oh, boy. Luke chapter 4. And to our online family, thanks for being here with us. We're excited that you are just joining with us. And so we hope that as we continue to make some new improvements and changes, it's a bigger blessing to you. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4, and this is Jesus speaking, all right? And so this piece of scripture is from Isaiah 61. You can read it in Isaiah 61 word for word here. And this is Jesus. He's getting up to read the scripture. And this piece of scripture, you would read it, but this is the part you would leave out. Because in Jewish culture and understanding, this was going to be read by one person that was the Messiah. Okay? When the Messiah comes, he was going to speak it. And so when Jesus comes, gets up and speaks this, if you read the rest of the chapter, they try to kill him. You got to understand, hey, why are they trying to kill him? Why are they freaking out so much? It's because he's saying that he's the Messiah. This is his moment. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here. And oddly enough, he's in his hometown. Okay. Verse 18, Luke chapter 4, 18, it says, the Spirit, this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to what? Bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And what did Jesus do? When he died, he rose again. did it all. All of those things came to pass. Where Jesus went, those things came to pass. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, let's look at verse 27. And this is another scripture in Isaiah that is about the Messiah. And so you'll find throughout the Old Testament, especially the prophetic books, there's prophetic scriptures that are specifically about the coming of Jesus. And this is one of those moments. In Isaiah 10, verse 27, it says, "In that day the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders." Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus is just like the rest of the Trinity, the originator of the anointing. Jesus came to break what? The yoke of slavery, the yoke of sin. The bondage that was on mankind because of sin entering this world. You know, sin has many different forms. Correct? Pride, greed, lust, envy, glutton, slothfulness, wrath. But throughout history, it manifests in different ways, right? 40 years ago, we didn't have social media, okay? So it manifests differently now. And so it's important to recognize that the struggles that you and I may go through, the temptation that you and I may go through, that the anointing that was on Jesus was specific to break what? The yoke of slavery and sin over our lives. And so it doesn't matter how big it feels or how impossible it feels, sin can be and will be broken through the power of what? Us accepting grace, the power of Jesus through the cross, and then ultimately receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will then allow us to fight those battles, all right? Will help us, empower us to fight those battles that we deal with. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 4 through 8 today. And I would really encourage you to read, you know, the first three chapters. If this is something that, like, hey, I want to learn more, read all of Acts, but read the first, you know, three chapters of Acts, because this is where the Holy Spirit comes. And it falls on the disciples. And we'll talk about how the promise that the disciples receive is the promise for all believers. And so there's these beautiful, beautiful moments that we see that are ours to have as well. Isn't that good? They're ours to have as well. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, this is Jesus speaking. "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them," this is Jesus, "do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." It was more than a few days. The ascension of Jesus, it says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know.'" But, you ever ask a question, you kind of realize that's a dumb question? You ever been in there? Maybe that's just me. All right, I've been there a lot. This is a moment. The disciples ask a dumb question. All right? And Jesus is like, "No, this is the meat. But you will receive power." Someone say power. "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The word power there is dunamis. And it means force, both literally and figuratively. It's miraculous power. And this is a really important piece of this word, all right? Because when we see power, we just think power. You know, what's something that's powerful, all right? Mr. Ralph, he's a powerful man. Look at those muscles. But watch out. Let's go. He's jacked. Powerful. All right, there's power, right? You ever gotten shocked before, all right? You ever stick a key in an electrical socket? Yeah, I have. Yeah. I do construction. Someone's like, how dumb can you be? Well, got some pretty good records. I do construction, so I do electrical work, and I have made mistakes learning how to do electrical work, but I'm still here, praise the Lord. And that's power, right? But it's important to recognize the word power here. This is a really important piece. That word dunamis also has, it also means, or has the word meaning to it. Meaning. It's not just power, it's power with meaning. It's power with purpose, okay? Because when we see that, you're not just going to get some unsolicited power that's just like, you know what I mean? That was me doing like a machine gun. I don't know, that was really weird probably, but you're not going to just receive some random power, like all of a sudden there's a lightsaber in your hand, you're like, let's go. All right? It's power with meaning. It's power with a purpose. What's the purpose? All right? We talked about this. The anointing does what? It is there to do what? Advance the kingdom of God, advance the will of God on this earth. So the power that you receive from God, it is not power to just like do crazy stuff. It's power to do one thing, to move and advance the kingdom of God. And he does that in an assortment of different ways. The word witness there is martus. This is where we get the word martyr from, okay? That word witness is where we get the word martyr from. And that's an important piece, okay? So that word witness means to be a witness, yes, but also to be a record. Not like an old vinyl, okay? Like a record, record keeping, all right? If you go to look at the history of the world, there are records to prove history. There are records that are kept. And what this word is saying is you will receive power. Power with purpose and meaning to advance my kingdom of my kingdom. And you will become what? You will become a record of that power. Because I will work through you. And what a beautiful picture of the anointing of God. You know, how many of you can relate? In your life, when you were not following God, yikes. Your life with God, oh man. I mean, that is a record worth telling. It is a record worth talking about. And no matter who you are, where you're at, what you've been through, when you have met Jesus Christ, when you have chosen him, you instantly have a record to tell. And the beautiful thing is when you give your life to Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit is yours to receive. And when you receive that power, it will manifest, you will be anointed to be able to tell your record. And we'll look at that, what happens with the disciples here in just a minute. And so for all of us, when I say something like, for instance, we all have a specific anointing to each of us that is specific to each person, it's the very simple true fact that all of us are created differently. Nobody has my fingerprint. Nobody ever will have my fingerprint. Is that wild to anybody? That's like the craziest thing to me, all right? My fingerprint, nobody in the history of the world has ever had this fingerprint. And nobody ever will, all right? Everybody look at your fingerprint. That's crazy. Does it look that complex to you? It doesn't even look that complex to me. And then I start looking, I'm like, that's crazy. Isn't that cool? God created every, in Psalm 139, it says that he knit you together before you ever in your mom's womb. He knows your inward parts. He did things. He created things inside of all of us that are specific to us. And so sure, the anointing coming through us, that power, when we begin to tell of the record of what God has done in our life, sure, it's going to look differently, all right? Of course it's going to look differently. What a vibrance the kingdom of God has, right? Thank God there's only one of me, okay? The world couldn't handle anything more. It would be really weird, all right? We'd just be talking about clogs and plumbing all the time. We'd be like, can we move on, all right? The reality that all of us in the room, everybody watching online, every person in the history of all mankind has something specific to them, their story, that they can be a witness of. And how many of you know that when you, how many of you ever shared your testimony with somebody, all right? When you begin to share your testimony, something powerful. It's not even, this is crazy. It might be hard to take the step of faith to share your testimony, but how many of you, you could sit up here right now, if you were brave enough, okay, you could sit up here and tell your testimony. Why? Because you know it like the back of your hand. Why? Because it's your life. It's not even complicated, right? I mean, your life's complicated, but like, it's not, but it's not complicated to tell your story. Why? Because you know it. The only person that knows your story more intimately than you is who? The Holy Spirit, God. To me, that's like the best news ever, because how many of you ever like complicated, like how do I tell somebody about Jesus? Anybody ever felt that way before? Like how can I even, wonder if I screw something up, wonder if I mess something up. Yeah, that's kind of like our MO as human beings. Like the beauty of God's anointing on our lives is the fact that it is just to be a witness. This is who I was. This is when God came, changed my life radically, and now this is who I am. The basis to simplify the way that the anointing works through us as human beings, that's probably the most simplest form of it. And then from there, beautiful things begin to happen, right? From there, when we step out, God begins to move on our behalf in those moments. And you'll find the power of the Holy Spirit begin to speak through you prophetically in words of knowledge. You'll lay hands on people and they will be healed. Why? Because this is part of the witness of a believer. If you were to talk to Peter, the disciple, think about what stories he was telling people. Oh, and I was with him. Me. And they're like, you? Yeah, me. A dirty fisherman, a sailor, cussed a lot. Had a temper, still kind of do. God's working on me. All these things, I was the one that told him I would never deny him, and then I denied him hours later. I left his side. I was the one that anybody looking from the outside in would say, that dude is washed up, and there's no way that God can ever use him, and yet here I am. So let's read about it. Acts chapter 2. Let's go there. Just one chapter over. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is where it happens. This is the day of Pentecost. And this is actually the festival of Shavuot. And this is approximately 50 days after the Passover, okay? And so this is days, probably weeks later, after Jesus and the disciples had this conversation. And this is what happens on the day of, and why is that important? The festival of Shavuot, it was the one time where if you were a devout Jew, you came to Jerusalem. It was like mandatory, okay? That's why in just a minute, when you hear there's people all outside of all different nations and tongues. That's why. Isn't God cool? God's like, I'm going to pick the most opportune time. I'm just going to mess with everyone. I just love it. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we're just going to do 1 through 4, I think. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Verse 5, let's keep reading. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They explained. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia. Man, these are crazy names. What's going on here? They're really testing my Bible knowledge right now. Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the, check this out, about the wonderful things God has done. Because you will receive power and you will be my witness. Praise the Lord. In verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying they're just drunk. That's all. See, you might become a witness and a record, and do not be surprised when some people do not receive it. Okay? Why? Because there's power in the Holy Spirit, all right? In our anointing, this is important to recognize what our anointing does in people, all right? When they come face to face with the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit moving through them and being a witness of what God has done, it brings them to a very specific point. And that point is they have to make a choice. They have to make a choice to choose Jesus or to walk away. Those are the only two choices, y'all. There's no neutral spot. There's not 70 different choices. There are two choices. And this is why the anointing of God will create conflict as well. And some of us don't like hearing that because some of us are afraid of conflict. Some of us hate conflict. Some of us love conflict a little too much, all right? But it's recognizing this, that when you speak with power of your witness of what God has done, what he is doing in your life, you are going to meet opposition. Why? Because it forces people. And some of us don't like that. We're like, it forces people to make a decision. To choose God or to walk away. So you're either opening up yourself to who? The Holy Spirit. Or you're opening up a door to the enemy. And this is reality. It's not a fun, you're like, wow, really, way to bring down the room. But that's the reality. And so it will bring conflict. Now, conflict, to just have conflict? No. Power, to have power? No. But what kind of power do we receive from the Holy Spirit? Power with meaning, with purpose. So when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, to step out, even if you meet conflict, don't run from it. This is a hard, anybody, is this hard sometimes for people? I'll just be honest, it's hard for me, okay? I mean, y'all know me. Well, and if you don't, like, you kind of know me because you're hearing me preach a little bit. But, like, I'm an outgoing, I'm an extrovert, life of the party guy. I love making people laugh. I love bringing smiles onto people's faces. And you know what? This sometimes won't bring a smile on people's face. But I do understand this, that when the Holy Spirit leads me, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon me to preach the good news of Christ, to become a witness of who I was before, but now who I am because of Jesus Christ. That's the one thing, the only thing, that can absolutely revolutionize and change someone's life. There is nothing that I can humanly, from my flesh, offer somebody that can change their life like the power of Jesus Christ. Period. There's no way. And so you see, Peter here, in this moment, I would encourage you to read it. We're not going to read it today. But Peter then takes this opportunity and preaches to the crowd. To me, it's like one of the coolest sermons ever. Because if you read it, I just think about what's going through Peter's mind while he's preaching this thing. I mean, he's got to be like, what is happening right now? I'm the most unqualified. He's speaking to thousands of people. There's a strong possibility there's tens of thousands of people that he's speaking to. Because that day it says, I think that 3,000 or 5,000 people, 3,000 in all, gave their life to Jesus. And Peter preaches this message. And what does he do? He's a witness. He tells who Jesus was, his crucifixion, his love, his power, and his redemptive power and plan for our life. And let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. This is so key. This is so important. Because you will have people in the world that will say that the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, they were just for back then. They're not from today. And this is the scripture that debunks all that. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it says, so let everyone in Israel, this is Peter finishing up, know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. That's a pretty hardcore line, all right? Did everybody catch that? He said, so this Jesus that you crucified. That's hardcore. In verse 37, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him, to other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sin, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children. Now, my version said, those far away. A better version would be for every generation. All who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. What an altar call. And this is where the early church is birthed and started from this moment. This gift is for any believer. Any person that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ can receive the power of the Holy Spirit and with the power of the Holy Spirit become a witness, the anointing of God working in and through them to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. This is our call at the most simplistic piece as Christians. And this is the way that the anointing works. And it's something that all of us possess. And you will find that every piece of the anointing, however it manifests in work, will point to that. It will point to the salvation of the world, to the lost, that all men might be free. John 3:16, we started with today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17, to me, has to be said right after it. For Jesus came, not that men would be condemned or women would be condemned, but they all might be saved. It's the beauty of the gospel living in us as Christians. Do you catch that today? Rivers of living water heavenly winds, the Holy Spirit, it is not dead. It cannot die. It's living in and through us. It's alive. People are drawn to that. What is different about you? What's going on with you? What's the deal with you, all right? What's wrong with you? Stop smiling, please, all right? Why are you so positive? Do you not know what's going on? How can you say something like that when all of that's going on? Why? Because it's the living water of the Holy Spirit living, 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 living right now in me. It is the power of Jesus Christ. It is our identity as Christians. Let's close down today with just every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. I want to read this last scripture to you. If you want to write it down in your notes, it's Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. And I want us just to take a moment, just to close our eyes, just to focus in on this. Because this scripture, this is Jesus. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In verse 37, he said to his disciples, hear this today. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. And today, my commission to all of us today is, will we be those workers? Will we be a people that recognizes that the harvest is great? We don't just speak of it, but we recognize it, that the harvest is great, and we're willing to be the workers. We're willing to open our mouth. We're willing to tell people about Jesus. We're willing to step out in faith and express the love of God everywhere we go. And I want to just say this for just a moment. I felt the Holy Spirit say this specifically this morning. I was praying over this message. In Isaiah, it says that he's here to break the yoke of slavery and sin. And I believe the Holy Spirit was saying that there are some people that think that the only thing that they can do is to simply push their flesh back or push their flesh down deep. The sin, the things that they feel they're in bondage of, the only power that they have is to just simply push it down deep or to push it behind them. But the Spirit of the Lord is saying, no, let's break it and be done. Let's break it and be done. God does not work like the world works. God does not keep tallies or a record of wrongs. God is constantly in the business of breaking the yoke of sin and death off of people's lives so that he can become a witness for his power, his love, his grace, and what he did on the cross. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus and you want to know him today, today's your day. There's no better day, in fact. If you're online watching today, there's no better day than today to make a decision for Jesus Christ. You might not know me, the history of me, but there is no reason that somebody like me should be up here to proclaim and declare the power of Jesus Christ, and yet here I am standing in front of you today. Why? Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Not just what he's done, but what he continues to do in me every single day. because the power of living waters flowing through me. So if you're in the room today or you're watching online, you want to know him today. This is your invitation. If you want that relationship with him, just lift up your hand and say, that's me today. That's me today. I know I might not see you in your living room today, but just do that as the decision for Jesus Christ today. And I love God because he's faithful. When we make that decision, he's faithful. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer today. If you're a believer, just say this prayer just to encourage the people around you. If you're watching online, just say this prayer. And what's important is what it comes from your heart today. The words, yes, they're important, but they have to come from your heart. You have to mean them today. So just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. I've never needed you more than right now. Forgive me of my sins, what I've done wrong. Make me new. Today, I make you the number one thing in my life. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on a cross that I deserved. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. And right now, I open up my heart, my life, my spirit to you. And if you want the gift of the Holy Spirit, just ask him for it right now. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. Just say, Holy Spirit, come. And you'll begin to speak a different language, a prayer language. You'll begin to see more clearly. The power of the Holy Spirit will come. You will feel the power of God because that's who he is. I have full faith in that. For all of us in the room, continuing today, will you take that commission? Will we stop making excuses of why we can't? And what we've done and who we are and all of those things. Because to be very frank, those are all petty things. In the eyes of the power of who God is, are we going to be willing to lay aside, and I'm talking to myself, that's why I'm saying we, are we going to be willing to lay aside our feelings and our emotions to go out and spread the word of Jesus Christ? Because if you've got air in your lungs, you've got a witness to preach. And so today, Father, we just lean into that. And we ask today, Lord, we just accept today. Lord, we just pray that you would break every yoke of sin in this place right now. Every person watching online, we thank you, God, that it is your Holy Spirit and your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. And so I speak to every sickness and disease, every piece of bondage right now. We bind it and we cast it out. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit power in this place, in the rooms of people watching today. We thank you, Jesus, for deliverance today. We thank you that freedom is in our hands. And if you're in the room today, if you're watching online, just take a moment. This might seem weird, but it's okay. But in just a moment, we're going to do something just to signify our willingness. I just want you to just lift out your hands, just like you're kind of making a bowl or a cup or something like that in front of you. And we're just going to recognize today that we have or are or just did receive the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And if you're willing to take that and be a witness to the nations, to be a witness in your workplace, in your family, to be a witness in a gas station or a grocery store, to be a witness in the places that you have influence, if you're willing to do that today, I want you to just symbolically just push that to heaven today. To take your hands and take that and just give it to him today. Today, Father, we just thank you for the freedom that you've given us, the salvation that you've given us. And today, we say that this freedom that you've given us is not just ours. It's for the world to know. We ask your Holy Spirit would just lead us and guide us. We thank you for the anointing that's on each of us to be a witness of the power, the resurrection power that is all of ours when we call the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We give you the praise, the glory. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen, amen. If we're going to dismiss in just a minute. If you want prayer, if you need prayer for healing, if you want prayer in any sort of way, come down front. I would love to pray for you. If you made the decision for Jesus for the first time, whether you're in the room or online, we'd love to hear about it. If you're online, you know, direct message us, comment, let us know that. We'd love to connect with you about next steps of what your relationship with God from here. What are some things that you can do to deepen your relationship with God? And finally, tonight's family night. So if you're in the Omaha area, come hang out with us 4:30, all right? Get here, all right? And we'll start our scavenger hunt at 5. Be creating your teams, all right? Yeah, teams. If you're a family, we would encourage you to do it with your family, all right? And if you're like, hey, I need some people, just go pair up with a few people, right? And you will have to stay with your group, okay? So a bigger group doesn't necessarily mean that you'll do better, but it might be more fun, okay? So be here tonight. It's going to be a blast. Fellowship is key, all right? It's good. And bring some meat to grill, a side to share. If you can't, don't worry about it. There's always way too much food. It's beautiful, all right? And if you don't like pumpkin pie, that's okay. I'll eat yours, all right? We love you. Have an awesome week. If you need prayer, come on down front.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us and have a great day.